Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation with the Phantom Detectives, Joshua Chairs, Melissa Farazano, and Rick Warner. Because I love history, I feel like history and hauntings go together. That,
yes,
like Melissa, that's a special thing that she does. But I do think that when you do know the backstory and the history, it helps explain some of the findings. And especially, yes, like with Melissa, that helped explain her what she had seen and why she's seeing Abraham Lincoln, which would be very strange. And, why is Abraham Lincoln in my brain?
Yeah.
And there's four types. There's four types of hauntings. There is intelligent hauntings, which directly interact with the living. There's residual hauntings. Like, think about Gettysburg and the battle. You know, obviously, it's a tape recorder that plays itself over and over. There's poltergeists, which are like noisy ghosts. They throw things around. And there's also demonic hauntings, which are negative entities as well. So we've encountered all four almost literally at different places. I mean, obviously, we haven't had a poltergeist yet, but we've obviously had, I've been in a location where I've had, you know, things thrown around. So not on the team, but obviously as a solo investigator. So we've all had experiences and we come together to form this amazing organization that is Phantom Detectives.
Wait, didn't we see Beetlejuice or was that at the movie theater?
That was at the movie theater.
Do not say it two more times.
I'm so excited
to see that new Beetlejuice, by the way.
Exactly.
Now, Rick, would you say that you are, do you kind of, because just talking to the three of you, it seems like you might bring on the more skeptical eye into the investigation, or is that you, Josh? Because I always think that's good to have that one person saying, what about this? What about that? That could be this. That could be that. Do you have that person?
I have that skeptic's perspective because I'm not like a full believer that every location is haunted. I bring some one of the approaches that I've learned from the Atlantic Paranormal Society, who have been longtime friends, is Jason Hawes and Grant Wilson and Steve Gonzalez and Dave Tango. They take the skeptic's perspective, meaning they don't believe every client's claims. Like, for example, water faucets turning on by their own. As plumbers from Roto-Rooter during their day job, Jason and Grant would know, hey, this faucet is leaking, but obviously there could be some, you know, scientific explanation why. So they go in and check the pipes and see, oh, here's a leak right here in the faucet. So that's what's causing this to turn on by itself. Mm-hmm. So obviously I try to bring that skeptics, like kind of debunking to Phantom Detectives investigations. Like I try to like understand, okay, well, maybe this person's having this experience because it's a high EMF field near electrical appliances. So we do EMF sweeps. So I try to bring that skeptics. And I think we're all skeptics at heart because we question whether or not there is an afterlife. And obviously it's always good to have at least one skeptic on the team because that way you can kind of keep a neutral position, meaning they're not open to the idea, but also they're not closed to it either. So obviously having a skeptic's perspective is always good because it gives you a chance to let them kind of feel it out themselves and make their own decisions.
So I should also say too that, you know, I mean, everything we do, it's all based on the scientific method, because scientific method is you're looking for data to support, you know, the facts of a case, or, you know, what's presented to you. So, you know, that's why we have such a broad spectrum of paranormal investigation equipment, all kinds of devices that we bring, you know, to help us, you know, debunk something or prove something, you know. So that's why, you know, we have so many things at our disposal to help us determine the facts of the case. Is there any credibility to this? So, you know, we always go in with kind of like, you know, debunking everything until, you know, we could actually come up with data that supports claims that have been made from people, like, you know, about noises or things that they saw and stuff like that. So, but we rely on we rely on good data and facts to put our cases together, to come up with stuff and figure out if does this place have good data that points to paranormal activity.
And that does lead me to my next question I wanted to ask you all about. because you also do private investigations in homes and in businesses if someone is experiencing something. How does that differ when you're dealing with, you know, there might be a family living in this home? How do you approach that? Because you're not just going in and investigating. You're also dealing with a family that's having some trauma. Is it a mental health issue? Is it, you know, there's so many questions.
Let's talk about that process on how somebody, a client, will begin the investigation process. So what we do is I had my webmasters from Sharp Innovations develop a case management system. So the idea is with this is to weed out serious cases and kind of, you know, who's, you know, how to believe all the stories. So what we did was we have a request help section now on phantomdetectives.org that goes to our sister website, darkmatternews.com. There's a form there on the website on Dark Matter News. And what you do is you take all that information and you talk about, like, you know, what are you experiencing? What kind of noises are you hearing? What kind of, basically things are the kids having, is there anybody else having these experiences? Are you seeing like any kind of apparitions? And so usually we have people fill out these forms. These families will fill out these forms. And what happens is they will go to the case manager. So obviously once it goes to the form, it goes right to Melissa, who obviously will say, hey, Joshua and Rick, I got this form from obviously X, Y, and Z client. Okay. So X, Y, and Z client is experiencing, obviously strange phenomena and footsteps and noises in their house. So obviously Melissa will obviously say, hey, Rick and Joshua, here's what I picked up. And obviously, and what we'll do is we'll have Melissa email them back and we'll set up a phone interview with Mr. Warner, who obviously handles as the director of client relations. He does all the interviews on camera and off camera. And when helping families, would you be able to talk about your interviews with that, Mr. Warner, and how you do that?
Yeah. Well, so here's the thing. I mean, you know, anybody can tell you anything, you know, like, first of all, first thing we do is, you know, once we have information that's submitted to us, you know, we take a look at it and we say, what does this look like, a case of something that we want to investigate? And the reason for interviewing the client, okay, is you're the main reason is, it's not just hearing what their story is. It's also about establishing credibility. So if you're interviewing a client over the phone, you know, you're going to ask several questions like, okay, you know, first of all, you know, what kind of dwelling do they live in? How many people live at the house? Is it an apartment? Is it a house? Is it a place of business? What kind of paranormal activity have you experienced? Are there any witnesses? Are there other people, maybe, it's at a place, a business, you know, it could be like at a museum. It could be things have happened during the gift shop. People working there, you know, at closing time or what have you. And, you know, several people are making the same kind of claims. So you have multiple witnesses sometimes. Other times, you know, it's a residential case. You know, there's kids there involved and things like that. And but what's really amazing too is that, you know, you have some people that are really determined to find out what's going on in their own place. You know, I mean, some of these clients we have, they set up video cameras. And I remember this one place that we had investigated, and this was, you know, in the master bedroom area where you could see, we're seeing a black and white video playback, and there's this guy's, I think it was this girlfriend at the time, I believe, but she's laying on one side of the bed, and then there's what appeared to be an elderly lady. So when I saw the video, and I'm asking, well, is that like, you know, your grandmother or her grandmother or something? And they're like, no, that's not anybody that's part of our family, anybody that we know. So you're seeing this video and you're seeing this apparition of what appears to be an elderly lady laying next to this girl on the bed, you know, and it's pretty scary stuff. So, you know, I ask a lot of questions when I conduct an interview, and I try to see, you know, where their mindset is and things like that, because there's things that can affect people's judgment, you know, like there's, you know, mental illness. There's people that have vision problems can affect what they see.
Mm-hmm.
There's people that use, you know, illegal narcotics that can affect their judgment, or maybe they're experiencing alcoholism, things like that. So there's so many different things that can affect what a person sees and hears. So, but what we're trying to establish is, you know, what their frame of mind is and what have they experienced, and is there any witnesses, things like that. And what kind of evidence do you have? Some people have photographic evidence. Some people have video evidence. Some people might have audio evidence. They put on their digital recorder and try to conduct their own EVP session. And all of a sudden, you know, you hear somebody talking maybe in the background, but they said it wasn't any of us. Well, it was just me. And I don't know who that person is because I was the only person in that room. You know, that kind of thing. So that all helps as far as knowing beforehand, you know, what the credibility is of a person and what's been experienced. And we use that information so we know what we're going into before we even get there, before we even start investigating. We know, we have some idea of what's been presented to them.
Now, have you had any experiences when you've gone into a private home or business and you all are like, man, there is some crazy stuff going on here? Meaning like crazy paranormal activity. Like you really do believe that there is paranormal activity there. And how do you address that with the family? And do you have solutions and help that you can give them, some suggestions on what they can do to get rid of it?
Yes. So let's talk about this case, obviously, that we did with this client named DH. This was after our Lightship Overfalls investigation in November 2022. We had reports. We got contacted from our Google business profile. We're verified on Google business as a legal operating business. And what happened was the client said, hey, my kids are obviously seeing, obviously dark figures in the basement. We are all terrified. We are all like literally living, on top of this house. How can we help you? And obviously, you know, we had to expedite this case really 10 days after we did the Lightship Overfalls investigation, which we made the local news in Delaware about that for our EVP. So we expedited the case, and then we had to prepare ourselves and use Sage. And I wanted to ask Melissa, Melissa, so as a psychic medium, do you remember going into that home and how it impacted you?
Yes. I can remember certain areas of that home felt really nasty. The family, they're such wonderful people. They truly are. And I know when they reached out, they were desperate. And the interesting thing is, when they first started, when they first reached out and told us about what they were experiencing, it sounded like this dark energy that's there would take turns of who it was going to pick on. Sometimes it would be the parents, sometimes it would be one of the children. And they said that, you know, every time they would leave the house, it was a whole different vibe. The negative feelings, the things they were experiencing, it was non-existent. So, but I remember going into their home and, we protected ourselves. And I'm glad we did, because that was one of the most darkest places we've investigated. And I know it's another thing that sounds so cliche is when you investigate basements and attics, how that always seems to give off such kind of a negative vibe, spooky. But I can remember going down into their finished basement and I said, this is awful in here. Whatever is dark, in this house, this dark entity, this is where it likes to hang out. And it was very difficult for me to be down there to investigate. And we actually captured a lot. with our equipment that evening as well, once we were in that basement. Yep.
Yes. So, yeah, do you remember, Melissa, too? We were going around with an SLS camera, and it was you and I at the time. Joshua was a different part of the house. And we were using an SLS camera, stands for Structured Light Sensor, and it uses Xbox technology. And basically what you're doing is you have the lights on in the room and you're aiming the camera on different places on the wall. And you don't want to point it at things like, let's say, pictures or TVs or table lamps or, you know, things like that, you know, coat racks, stuff like that, because it'll try to map it out as a stick figure. So, and what this camera does is that if you point it at a person just to test it out, you'll see that person being mapped out as a stick figure. And it's the same if you have it on a TV where there's people there, it'll map them out as stick figures. Or a table lamp, things like that. It'll map it out as a stick figure. So anyway, we're going along this wall and it's just a blank wall, you know, and then it looks like, to me, it looked like on the screen, on the monitor, you see this black blob just moving around, bouncing around. And it looked like it was trying to manifest itself as a person. It wasn't even like a stick figure at this point. It just, mind you, this black, you know, pool of oil or something just moving around and trying to manifest itself as a in the shape of a human. And it was a pretty creepy thing. But then I remember on another part of the wall, you know, we had it on, you could see that there was a stick figure there. But then that basement was the same place where the kids had reported seeing shadow figures, which are those black shadow type figures that people talk about. And, you know, seeing that up on the monitor. And at first, you know, I thought, you know, we were talking about, well, maybe was there something wrong with the monitor that would cause it to do it? But then it just seems strange because why is this thing moving around trying to form itself into some kind of human shape?
So once you collect that kind of information and you guys have validated what these people are experiencing, how do you present that to them? What do you do with that information?
So this is where we all do together. So what we do is, obviously, once we do all of the findings, so what we do is we'll go ahead and we have our own report now. We fill a written report to the client saying, okay, obviously, you know, psychic medium impressions, environmental data from our paranormal puck. We'll also, like, you know, recap, like, about EVPs. We'll do a whole report, a case report, which usually I write. Obviously, I fill that out every investigation. And then what we do is, on our website, phantomdetectives.org, we always check with the clients and we ask, hey, do we have your permission to post our evidence that we've captured on our website? And every client says yes. So we always kept just the snippets, like, you know, the thermal images, the digital camera images, the EVPs, the ghost box sessions. So usually most of the time, they're really cool about letting us post evidence. And then, of course, we'll come back and either, like, we'll do a reveal process similar to most ghost hunting shows. Obviously, through the written report, like, usually sometimes I'll drive to the location and, like, you know, show them on, like, a TV, or a lot of times they want us to come back and do lectures and, you know, about what we found and answer questions from the audience. So it depends on each homeowner. But most of the time we just pretty much just write them a report and then, you know, send over, like, on text message, like, hey, here's what we captured. Here's this thermal image you can share out, or here's this, you know, EVP that we found from our voice recorders or from our Chairs Warner Spirit Box session. So, you know, that's usually what we do, similar to a reveal process, except not like the television shows like that. Obviously, we'll have a big TV and show you all these different things. We'll just usually just obviously send it to them individually, and then, like, we'll just post it on our website with obviously they're our website with their permission. And so it's kind of similar, but we just kind of do it a different way, but it's just as effective. So that process definitely helps wrap up a case. And then usually we'll all kind of like, you know, say, hey, if anything else escalates, contact us and we'll help you. So it's great to have, you know, a beginning process and a middle process and an end process to the whole investigation. So we're really good at understanding every facet of that.
And what happened with that family? Did
let's talk a little bit about further about that case. So obviously, DH, there was a lot of things that happened that night. We actually, not only did we capture, we got an EVP that said, I want you to go. We got cussed out. And also, Rick could tell you this, because I remember seeing him down in the basement. He was sitting in this chair taking a break. And literally, you can see his eyes close and this EMF meter spike, this A+1 EMF meter spike all the way up from, I believe, like green to red. And Mr. Warner can remember, I had to say the Lord's Prayer to release this evil entity from touching him. Would you be able to talk about that, Rick, though? Your experience? Like,
you know what?
Like,
yeah, so I'm sitting in this chair and I'm feeling this heavy, you know, I felt like there was something sitting on my chest. I mean, it was this heavy pressure of something pushing down on me. And I knew that, you know, it wasn't like I was sick or getting sick. It was nothing like that at all. It was almost like, you know, something there was causing pressure on my chest and, you know, pushing down. And, you know, my heart's good. I don't have any heart issues or anything like that. So, and then I remember Joshua basically saying in the name of God that to get off of me, you know. And as soon as he said that, he commanded what we felt was an evil entity, possibly something demonic, that to leave and get off of me. And as soon as he did, all of a sudden, I didn't feel that the pressure just went away. I didn't feel it anymore, you know. And, you know, that's not something you could just make up.
No.
And, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, but we ended up, you know, in the end, you know, we ended up doing a home cleansing there, or also called a home clearing. And we were doing things, Les and I were working together on, you know, burning sage in each room and, you know, saying prayer. And, you know, we're saging each room with the smoke from the sage and anointing each doorway with holy oil and that kind of stuff, and basically trying to get rid of, you know, negative energy. Because sometimes, you know, you have, you know, just like, think of, you know, what you meet in the living. You know, there's people that are alive could be really good, caring people, right? That wouldn't cause harm to people. And then what else do you have? You know, you have people that are serial killers, you know, and do horrible things to people. And, you know, those, you know, we have evil people and we have people that are not evil, good people. So think of that. That also carries over into the spirit world as well. And, but then you also have that there's a dark side to it, which is the other end of the spectrum, which isn't the human form, but now it's, you know, there have been cases where priests have had to have been called to try to exercise demonic activity from a home or a place of business and that kind of stuff. And we don't really get involved in that type of stuff because we're not, you know, we're not priests, you know, we don't do that stuff, but we try to recommend somebody for them whenever we can. So, yeah, I mean, you know, there's things like that out there that you could run into, but not every negative energy means it's something demonic. It could be that maybe the spirits that had passed away just had a very evil disposition to begin with when they were living, and that carried over into death.
And that makes sense to me, too, because if you're a serial killer in life, you're not going to die in you know what I mean? It's like, I think that would kind of follow you.
Exactly. I mean, if you die you died a serial killer and you never repented or tried to seek help with anyone and get help with that, you know, and that's how you passed away. I mean, it's not likely that you're going to present yourself as a spirit who's like all cured now. And
right.
You're just friendly with everybody, you know.
Now, was this family able then to get the relief they needed after the cleansing?
They did.
Oh, definitely.
Good. Because I would lay in bed tonight worrying about this family if I didn't ask. I'd be like, oh my gosh, I hope they're okay. Because that sounds like a lot to deal with.
Yes. Yeah, and
they definitely, you know, felt a sense of peace. We also prayed with them too. And, you know, we recommended to them that, you know, they, you know, stick together, pray as a family, support each other, things like that. And, you know, and honestly too, because, you know, let's say, you know, families that are dysfunctional or husband and wives that are not getting along and there's a lot of arguing and fighting that's going on among the kids and the parents and things like that, you know, that all, you know, all that negative energy breeds more negative energy. Mm-hmm.
They can go to your website, phantomdetective.org, and read about
yes.
lots of different investigations you've done. And also, and I don't think I saw this on the website, I think I saw it on your Facebook page, about some paranormal investigator certification courses that you offer online.
Yes, sir, Rick, would you be able to talk about those? Because you're one spearheading that.
Yeah, so we have basically, so Joshua and I have put together some videos that are lecture videos. You know, they could go on that website, phantomdetectives.org, and then there's some links there that would take them to our Patreon page. And they could either subscribe. We have a subscription level. There's a few different levels there to subscribe at, where we have not just training on how to be a paranormal investigator, but we also have, you know, audio. We have things like, you know, EVP audio sessions that we have on there, and we have video footage taken from paranormal investigations. You know, and then we have interview audios, things like that. So there's a lot of information there, and also things like, you know, thermal image pictures of thermal images and ghostly images and stuff like that. So we also have a standalone course where people can, outright purchase. If they don't want to pay a subscription, they could outright, you know, just buy the, paranormal investigator course. And just recently I put in two different courses where we have on Udemy, we have a paranormal investigator certification course, and then we also have a paranormal investigator master class certification course, which has more videos and that kind of stuff. But I don't have a link for you right now for Udemy. One of them's on there now, but the other one, I don't have a link up yet because it has to meet the review team before that gets on there. But our Patreon page can be found on the Phantom Detectives website.
Yeah.
And you can access our videos, our video lecture training there.
And Melissa, I see you also do readings.
Yes, I do.
And so you can also go to the page phantomdetectives.org, and there's a link there for you.
Yes. Yep. People can reach out to me through my website, which is listed on phantomdetectives.org. And so I do mediumship readings, and I also do tarot readings, tarot life readings as well. So, and people can reach out and schedule an appointment, and I do them over Zoom, FaceTime, over the phone. So it all works. Even if they aren't face to face, they still work just as well.
Absolutely.
So, yep.
And I also saw through the website, you can go directly to Dark Matter News as well.
Yes, that's linked up. Obviously, darkmatternews.com is officially linked up. And also, there's another cool website, I think, for anybody that has a paranormal team, wants to know about haunted locations. There's a new website that we're partnering with called Paranormal Societies. ParanormalSocieties.com was an old directory developed by a guy named Bill Wilkins, obviously, who created this largest directory in the world with more than 5,000 teams, with dozens waiting. Unfortunately, he vanished in 2020, but his friend Josh Vandewettering created a new version of it called ParanormalSocieties.org, which continues Bill's ParanormalSocieties.com. So that's also linked up there. So if you want to go ahead and put your name into a directory where teams can list their services, it's free and there's no cost.
And in the show description, wherever you're listening, just look and I'll put a link there. So you can click on that too. Super easy if you want. But thank you all so much for your time tonight. This was such a pleasure to get to talk to you about this.
It was fun. I loved it. And we'll do it again.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Thanks for having us on board.
You bet. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that wraps up our conversation with the Phantom Detectives. For more information, visit their website at phantomdetectives.org or find them on Facebook. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, then become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free, or you can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.